Kellogg, the number one in cereals, at least at some point in history, brings you this show talking about Superman?
We are talking about the adventures of Superman for Super Summer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to your new favorite show. And it's summertime, baby, and you know what that means. We are kicking off a big deal, long-term focus, and that is talking about the one, the only, the big blue Boy Scout, Superman. My name is Drew, and I need the portable typewriter to my stamp day booklet. Miles, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good. So let's talk about the man, the myth, the legend, Superman. Often imitated, never duplicated, often done poorly, sometimes done pretty well. And we are going back this next several weeks is what I'm going to say. And we decided as we go into Super Summer, because we have a new Superman movie on the horizon, everybody is going to be talking about Superman movies. Oh, Drew and Miles, these two idiots? No, sir. We are going to be talking about all of the television-based Supermen, and specifically the live action versions. We might take a little time to talk about the DCU animated universe cartoons or My Adventures of Superman, but no, we're focused mostly on the live action versions, because these are the versions of Superman that were in people's homes for years.
You hit the nail on the head right there, because Superman has always been kind of the hero of the people. And I think we have gotten so distant from that we forget that. And so going back to even this is pretty cool to me. Like, it's weird to me because I don't read a lot of Superman books, but I also very much love the Superman character, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. Because I'm the same way. I don't read a ton of Superman stuff either. But I do. I do love the guy, and it's one of those things where I think he is a character that as storytelling advances and gets more complicated, he as a character is harder to write well.
Yes, he's harder to write well in that I feel like a lot of writers don't understand the character, and they'll be like, oh, Superman's so hard to pin down, and he's really not. Like, that's the thing about Superman is, like, no, he's just a purely good being. And I think it speaks more about the writers that they can't come up with something. Because I hate the idea that Superman's boring, Superman's too powerful. I'm like, no, the whole thing about humanity or Superman is the humanity of the story. And every great Superman story, from Superman, Secret Identity, to The Death of Superman, is about the human element. Even though this is a character that is legitimately not human. And I think that's one of my favorite things about Superman is that, like, he's supposed to represent the best of all of us. He's supposed to represent hope. And we sure as hell need it now. Yeah. Well, and every time I watch that trailer for the new movie, like, I well up in tears, because I'm like, oh, this is the vibe you're supposed to get from this character.
Yeah, and it's also it's the true immigrant story. You know, he came to this country and became one of the best of us.
Back when truth, justice, and the all-American way didn't sound so xenophobic.
Yeah. So, let's dial
it. Even though it kind of was.
Well, let's dial it back for Adventures of Superman. Because this is a show that started pre-production in the late 40s. There were. This is not the first live-action Superman. Believe it or not, there were a number of serialized shorts starring Superman that were all throughout the 40s.
Were the Batman series before them? Because I think that was what, 43, I think?
I think those were the 30s. I think those were 1930s Batman series.
I thought it was 43 because I could be wrong.
I don't know. We'll talk about Batman another month. He gets all enough time.
I was kind of curious in terms of comic book adaptations on any screen.
Yeah, I'd have to look it up, and it would take too much time to do that. But it kind of culminated in making this sort of movie version, which is Superman versus the Mole Men. And Superman versus,
which I kind of wish we watched.
I couldn't find a good copy of it otherwise, because okay. I almost, if you look back at our at our planning thread, I did copy it in there, and then I know it.
I've always enjoyed that movie poster. I have always loved that movie poster.
but that movie was where George Reeves, the Superman of the show, took on the role of Superman for the first time. And oddly, in that, you had an actress named Noelle Neal playing Lois Lane. She is not the Lois Lane they cast for the show, although after season one, Phyllis Coates, who was the Lois Lane in the first season, left the show and Noelle Neal took her place. So you have kind of a culmination of all that. Pair them up with Jack Larson playing the young Jimmy Olsen. You got your main cast of the show, as well as Perry White, who is played by
John Hamilton.
Thank you, John Hamilton. Great Caesar's ghost.
I love Perry in this show.
did he coin the Great Caesar's ghost for
that? To me, he did.
I meant to look it up beforehand, but it is such an iconic Perry White line. So this is another thing about this show. You can't really find this show right now, and that's why we only watched a few episodes. I wanted to watch a smattering of stuff across the entire show, because they had, what, six seasons. But you just can't find it. I mean, you can buy it, but I didn't want to spend a ton of money on it. I'm sorry, gang.
the first full season's on Internet Archive, and you can find stuff on YouTube.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. It's old enough that I would imagine that any modern writer who uses Great Caesar's Ghost is likely referring to Adventures of Superman.
Yeah, yeah. But Miles and I watched this show when we were growing up because it actually aired on television. Yes, mm-hmm. Children in the audience. TV shows from the 1950s still aired on television in the 1990s. I know,
and
that seems,
thanks to whom?
Nick at Night, baby.
Yes, it is. Nick at Night.
and that's really the thing that I, you know, I'm a millennial and I'm of the last generation of people that experienced this stuff. Maybe some of the oldest Gen Zs experienced this world. But
yeah,
I feel like we were lucky that we had this breadth of content. Because all of the things that we are going to talk about over the course of Super Summer, we have experienced, oddly, except for the final one, which I have only... Oh, no, I did. I have watched episodes of it, so never mind. I take it back.
It is interesting. This comes up a lot. I talk about curation a lot with my friends because we talk about music a lot, and the absence of an MTV or Fuse or The Box or Much Music is something that, like, I think is drastically missing from our society in general. And there are things that, like, part of me always catches myself talking about this because I'm like, am I just being an old person who is thinking their youth was awesome? Or do I genuinely believe that, like, hey, there was something to, like, channel surfing in the middle of the night and landing on something, or being on the channel that you would watch and being like, okay, well, I'm gonna keep watching these old shows as I go to sleep. And yeah, that's how I watch a lot of Happy Days, a lot of White Shadow, a lot of these older sitcoms.
Golly, I forgot about that.
It's one that I watched. And Adventures of Superman was, of course, on that docket at one point in time. And I think there is something missing in having some sort of receiver where, like, you have a set things, this plays a certain time. And I think that is going to be how we eventually, like, lose certain things outside of, you know, podcasters or curators of any kind, like, reminding people of this stuff. And that's kind of a bummer. I mean, it's also the way of things, but I'm glad that I grew up in the era that I grew up in because of this aspect of this late night block of television, which was always, no matter what channel you were on, and we're specifically talking about Nickelodeon and Nick at Night.
Yeah.
There was like, you don't know what you're going to get as a kid, even though like looking back, oh yeah, it was the same stuff every weekday, but like it still felt different. And I love that. And you have a couple of places like Pluto TV and stuff that try to emulate that a little bit, but yeah, there is something special about watching a Superman show in black and white when you're like just not able to sleep and it's just, watching it's this there. Goofy show,
watching this goofy, weird show with this sort of barrel chested, like I'm sure he was considered in good shape at the time, but this Superman don't look like the Superman of today.
Well, there is that. And I've always had this mild fascination with George Reeves because I distinctly remember I think it was on the anniversary of his death when I was very young, and maybe it might have been the 20th anniversary or something, but no, it couldn't have been the 20th anniversary because he died in 58. Yeah, so it was probably like the 35th or something, because I remember seeing a news bit on him, or maybe there was like a reopening of the case. I remember a whole thing about the idea that like, oh, he didn't die by suicide. It was this whole, like, it could have been a mob hit. It could have been a party gone wrong.
I don't want to get too much into George Reeves.
I'm just saying that like that whole mystery of George Reeves' death like stuck with me my entire life. Like I distinctly remember exactly where I was as a child watching that news broadcast that was like recapping the whole story, and thinking, well. And again, I was a kid, but well, how could the mob get Superman? Because again, I am a child.
Well, we can talk about how the mob gets Superman because we watched episode 24, Crime Wave. Yeah. Crime
Wave. I just wanted to like talk about that a little bit, just because, you know, there's this mystique about George Reeves. So like over 50 years after his death.
Yeah.
And it's something that has stuck with the idea of this show. I mean, they've even made Hollywood films about it.
Yeah, with a future Adrian Batman. Birdie.
Oh yeah, Ben Affleck's in that. Yeah, he plays Superman. He plays
George Reeves.
Yeah.
So let's break down these episodes, and I want to talk. We watched four episodes. We watched all from the first season, with the exception of one, which happens to be the only one that's in the public domain, so it's much more easily discoverable. But I have to say, when this show started in September of 1952, when the first episode aired, let's remember Superman, the first issue of the comic book, came out in 1938. We are not even 15 years into...
Well, not only that, but like we're still in the early days of TV.
We're in the early days of TV. This was... this series, when it was initially on, was not nationally broadcast. It was only broadcast on these little networks here and there because that just wasn't a thing back then, and wasn't for a while. The show itself was actually shot at RKO Studios. Does anybody know who RKO Studios is that is under the age of 40?
No. I was like, yeah, of course I do. Then you had to bring the numbers.
Yeah, sorry. So what's interesting about this, and we're going to talk about, because it's so early in the Superman mythos, but it is interesting just because there are so many differences and similarly so many similarities. Because in 1952, the first episode of the show, Superman on Earth, covers the destruction of Krypton and little Kal-El being put in the rocket and sent to Earth.
Yeah, it is essentially a 25-minute Superman movie. Like it covers everything from Krypton to him coming onto Earth to him growing up to his first bout as Superman.
Yeah. When he is discovered by his parents, whose names we all know, Eben and Sarah.
I cannot tell you how irrationally angry I get watching that episode and hearing those names.
Well, what's funny is that their names were not set in stone in the comics.
I understand until, that.
Well, what's funny is they were set in stone in 1952, the year this came out. But because
it just makes me so mad.
Well, they were drawing a number of the show drew as much information from the comics as it did from the Adventures of Superman novel, which was written by George Lother and illustrated by Joe Shuster. But Jerry Siegel, the other creator of Superman, was not really involved in that book. This is where Jor-El and Lara had already been kind of the same, but it was Jor-El and Laura. Eben and Sarah Kent were the name of Clark's parents in the book, but obviously the comics were doing their own thing. The Kents have had multiple names around there. Mary Kent was in Superman number one. Mary Kent was the only one that was actually named. They didn't even give a name to his dad in that one. Eben and Martha were used at one point. Eben and Sarah were used. John and Mary were used. Which again, all of this just gets all over the place. One thing that I did notice that I'd never thought about before is that in one of these early works, they did have that Superman's adoptive mother's maiden name was Clark, and that's where Clark gets his first name. And I was like, oh, that's kind of fun. I kind of like that. But anyway, it is interesting to me how different some of the stuff is, but then how similar the rest of it is, including a young Clark talking to his mom about how, why am I so different, mom? Why am I faster than everybody and stronger than everybody?
Why do I seem like I'm 15 and not 12?
it kind of goes through all of these sort of these pieces that we would see in the 70s Superman movie that we see in so many other early Superman works, up to and including saving a guy when a dirigible gets pulled off of its moorings and takes a guy into the air holding onto it. Like, that's classic, just, you know, 30s era stuff, even though this was in the 50s. I thought it was interesting that, you know, everybody else, like all I looked at some of the Kryptonians and their costumes. I feel like the Kryptonian costumes in this show are referenced in other works. I didn't go back and look at the 30s era costumes for Kryptonians there to see if they matched then. I should have done it. Didn't do it. The only thing about this, and this is the sort of the thing that gets me about this entire season one of this show, and I recognize this is early days of television. Seems like at the end of every episode, Lois is, and where were you, Mr. Kent? And
that's a classic serial.
Then Clark just like, I don't know, Lois, but maybe I was having a super time, wink, and nobody knows. It's like, hey, did I tell you guys I was Superman? Good, because I'm not. So after that, we move forward I want to set the right expectation as we go forth, because, and I wanted to do this for this show, but I had to kind of pick and choose for this series. I want to do the first episode, the last episode, the best episode, and the worst episode of the series moving forward.
I know you do. And I don't know. It doesn't really hit the, what I want to get from some of these things, but I also, I knew you And I get that's 100% what you want to do.
Because I want to look at it warts and all, you know, because some of these things.
I'm fine with that. Like, I think for me, I want to get a vibe of what it was in the time period.
Sure. And that's another thing to talk about with this show, because, again, we talk about how similar this show is to the comic origins of Superman that we all know, but how different it is as well, because all of Superman's like big bads, Lex Luthor, not in this show.
No, none of the comic stuff's in it. That kind of lends itself to why this thing is a public domain situation.
Well, but it's not. The only one that's public domain is
well, so some of it was, because some of it got like random DB releases. Well, I don't know if it was public domain, but it was certainly something that got gobbled up.
Yeah,
because of like this situation or the other.
Yeah, we'll learn this week and next week, the early Superman rights, even up until the 80s, were kind of all over the place based on some things, and then Warner Brothers locked it down.
And even that, like, there were still lawsuits to this day that are valid. Because there was a little bit where like we didn't know if like, oh well, Supergirl, Superboy, and certain aspects of the Smallville entity are locked up in lawsuits. This was as of like, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. I don't know if this what's happening
well,
now.
Well, the one that we'll talk about next week was resolved in like 2006. So
that's not what I'm talking about.
Well, anyway, but that's not to say that they didn't have some weirdness and some silliness in this show.
We didn't get a lot of what we watched.
Well, but I think we did in episode 17, The Runaway Robot.
I mean, so here's the thing. It's silly to us in 2025 watching a science fiction show from 1951?
53 was this one. January
53? I can't fault a show that wasn't even nationally broadcasted to not have a great looking robot.
I know. It's very.
It is absolutely deliciously delightful.
It's delightfully bad because it's just a dude.
Oh, in yeah. Cardboard. It is a dude in aluminum foil, and it is absolutely amazing to watch.
The idea behind it is that this professor, Horatio Hinkle, who is also
apparently works for the Daily Planet.
works for a remote office of the Daily Planet. And it was weird that Hinkle and his assistant that he radios back both have this like weird accent. Like
the very like yokel kind of accent,
but it's not any yokel accent I've ever heard before. It's just like,
no, it is a classic 50s version of like, oh, we're gonna do a southern thing, but we're also gonna make it like super stupid sounding, like Scooby Dumb almost. And I actively disliked it.
Yeah, I did not. But basically, Professor Henkel's robot, that he uses this basically iPad Etch-a-Sketch to control.
Yeah.
Because it has a full video screen on it. Oh, that would have been wild back in the day. But he stopped.
That was the dream back in the day, though. I mean, you think about like Dick Tracy and his like video watch. Like that stuff was like
was
the
just a radio
idea
watch
of the future. Well, he also had a video watch, too. And like that was like the whole like vision of the future.
Yeah.
And so like, I mean, now it's like, yeah, like, you can look at your watch and like, you know, FaceTime people.
his robot stops a crime, but then he's arrested anyway because some of the stuff is still missing. And he's like, what's going on? And
also, he's really bad about stopping the crime.
He's also really bad about stopping the crime. And then the guy, the mobsters, because that's another thing. There are more mobsters in this show than Gotham City. There are so many mobsters.
Well, the thing is, you have to think about the time in which this was made.
Yeah. there was definitely a reason, and we're going to talk a lot about that in the next episode we talked about, or the next episode we watched. But they end up kidnapping him and stealing the robot and using the robot to rob some other stuff before Superman ends up coming in and the robot hits Superman and its arms fall off.
I mean, that is one of my one big complaint about what we watch in general, is that Superman just is there. Like he is a means to, like, all right, the crime stops now.
Yeah.
And I get that that was part of the serialized storytelling, because I've listened to a bunch of serials from back in the day, like Flash, Doc Samson, all that stuff. The Shadow. And there is a lot of that there. And because at the time, especially in science fiction, like, the idea that this character existing was enough to wow and bewilder people. So we do have to kind of give it a little bit of credence, because, like, this is the first time we see anything like this on the small screen.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, it is easy to, like, brush off a lot of what we see, because it's in our modern eyes, silly and not well developed and not well, you know, fleshed out. But it's also the first time any of this was happening. And I think we do have to kind of give a little bit of, like, you know, kudos to this show for, like, being one of the first big superhero shows ever.
Yeah. Let's talk about episode 24 then, because this episode I thought was so interesting to see in the context of today, where, like, this episode 24, crime wave. There is a massive crime wave in Metropolis, and basically, for some reason, Perry White and this other guy and the chief of police band together to stop it. I don't really
That's
know why
the wild
Perry
thing
White,
is like at one Perry point White in time, is... like the media and the police were, like, the same side.
Like, it's very, very odd. But basically,
but it's also this very like at the time American patriotic idea that, like, all of these public works are supposed to be working for you.
Yeah.
And which is, like, that ideal I wish was still valid.
Mm-hmm. But this episode is so strange, because it's Superman going after all of these mob bosses. We see gunfights between cops and robbers, where robbers are dying after getting shot by guns,
and vice versa. Yeah.
I don't know that we ever see a cop get shot. I know
there's that whole bit where, like, the mob strikes back and you see a bunch of cops, like, getting hit.
Yeah. I just remember watching robbers die. I don't remember seeing any cops die as part of it.
It might have been something where you don't see them actively die, but it's implied, because they probably wouldn't have done that on television at the time.
But they let the bad guys die, which is interesting.
Well, of course, because you have to, like, show the kids this is what happens when you fall down the wrong path.
Yeah. But you've got Superman basically leading this crusade against the mob bosses, and they've got this list of, like, Metropolis is most wanted, and he's scratching them off as he's capturing them and putting them in jail and all of this stuff.
So I will say, because of, like, The Godfather and Goodfellas and stuff, we typically associate the mob with, like, the 70s, 80s, and the early 90s, but it was a big problem in the 50s. And especially if you watch, like, a lot of the mob... My fiance and I watch a lot of mob documentaries on HBO Max and stuff. So, like, this was a big problem, and especially at this time. You think of the time of Al Capone, you think of the time of, like, you know, Lucky Luciano and stuff like that. And this was very much in the public consciousness. So if you have this idea of this, like, big city like Metropolis, well, you're obviously going to have organized crime, but this city has Superman. So you have this idea of this new idea of crime. Well, let's use this idea of this new superhero to, like, combat that. And especially in a time where, like, organized crime was, like, really budding, I can't imagine them not using Superman to, like, oh yeah, oh, he wipes it out immediately.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, the idea of Superman, like, takes it out, like, entirely by himself.
But that's another weird thing about it, is the big mystery is that they don't know
who's number one.
They don't know who's number one, and they don't have it figured out. And that, you know, again, Superman has X-ray vision and super strength, and he can fly, and he's bulletproof. But
so my question to you, because we didn't watch all the episodes, does he have this all, this entire set of powers in this show?
Well, I don't.
We know his faster than locomotive, more powerful than faster than speeding bullet, like able to leap tall buildings than speeding bullet.
Yes.
Like, can he? Does he have the X-ray vision? Does he have heat vision? Does he have cold breath?
He definitely has X-ray vision because he. He talks about how he saw through the rock.
That's right. You're right. Lost. We don't see it in what we saw in the adult shows.
It never comes up. I know that it comes up because I remember him not being able to see through lead being a thing.
Okay, but that wasn't in what we watched. Okay,
that wasn't in the four episodes that we watched. No.
Gotcha.
I don't think laser vision, his laser eyes are in this at all because I just don't think they had the capability to do it back then.
Right.
I also don't know if he had it in the comics at the time.
I don't remember. So did he have the freeze breath?
Unknown. Does not seem to.
Okay.
Does not seem to because he never uses it to put out a fire, which he easily could do.
Oh, that's right. They have a whole thing about how he like saved people from a fire and didn't bother putting it out. So yeah. There's that.
Exactly. similarly, like he does have super strength and he can bend metal with his bare hands, but he can also just punch dudes and they don't die or explode. So he's got some control over those powers.
Yeah, that's true. I thought about that one when I was watching it because I was like, why aren't these guys like broken?
Yeah, it's not Homelander destroying people and like in The Boys. It's a different world. But similarly, he does not seem to have the super hearing that he has, because otherwise he'd be able to hear all this stuff. But the other thing that is maybe the biggest impediment to his powers is that they have to make phone calls and trust that someone's on the other line to pick it up and then leave a note.
This is how it was back then.
I know. We lived in a time where that was the case, and it's just such a strange.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember taking messages for my mother. let's talk a little bit about the actors themselves. Like, I think George Reeves is fantastic as both Clark Kent and Superman. I wish that Superman got to do a little bit more in what we watched. Superman is more of a force of nature in a way that's not as interesting on the screen to me in 2025 in what we watched. Like, he's there, and like, I do love the bit in the Crime Wave episode because he fakes out everyone.
Well, that's what I want to talk. I want to talk about
two, okay.
I want to talk about two things with the Crime Wave episode, because these two things I imagine in 1953 were huge.
Oh, but when 100%.
But when I watch it in 2025, I think this is so hilarious and maybe a little lame. And the two things,
it's more hilarious when you think that Superman's faking it, and like it's almost like an episode of The Rehearsal.
Yeah. So for some reason, the mob guys have a professor on staff that.
Just in and of itself, great. It is such a 50s comic book thing to do.
Yeah, it's super science, you know, early super science stuff. But and they lure Superman into this armored room, and he's like, oh no, I can't get through the doors. And then they turn off this machine and basically they just like zap him with electricity or some sort of rays or whatever.
You know, it's electricity, yeah.
Because they're trying to kill Superman, and Superman's like, ugh. And he dies, and they go in to check his pulse, and like, he's dead. We did it. We killed Superman. We killed him. Awesome. Let's get the big boss in here and show the big boss. And this is the other thing. They have, again, hidden the big boss. Oh, it turns out that the big boss is the other guy that was trying to stop the crime wave. It was an inside job. Oh, my gosh. And again, in 2025, like I said, storytelling has progressed. Mm-hmm. This stuff is way more obvious now that would have maybe been a lot more impactful. But as soon as the big boss gets in there, because that's what Superman's been trying to do, boom, it's like, huh, that you guys thought I would be bothered by that at all. Or that I
could. He's like, this tickled. And you thought this would stop me? He like, boom, like pops through the door and it pops like a balloon.
And it's it's a pretty good effect because it looks like he's punching through stone. And
no, they do a good job with a lot of those effects. I really like There's an aspect of the obviousness in this show that I do love, because it's a stereotype of the time. You know, like, oh, you just missed me, Lois, wink. But like, it's so charmingly done. And frankly, George Reeves is good as both Clark Kent and Superman. Like, yes, he is never asked to be anything physical as Superman. He is just there.
Well, what's funny about that is George Reeves was 40 when the show started.
Which was average at the time.
Bogart
was 40 when he got his big break, you know?
But he lamented in the later years, especially as he was getting into his mid-40s, having such a physical role because he was having a hard time keeping up with it.
He also, as far as I've read, didn't think that he had a lot of adult fans. Like, he'd done some war stories prior to, war films prior to Superman. But Superman was his big role.
Yeah.
And this is before, like, people kind of understood that these things mean something. And which sucks because, I mean, again, there's this whole, you know, controversy over his death. Because he was depressed of it. And I mean, there's rumors that, like, oh yeah, every year he held a pyre where he burned a Superman outfit because he kind of was so distraught over this being the only thing he was known for.
Typecasting is a hell of a thing.
It is. And I mean, some people are super
not,
into
not
it.
Even, not even typecasting, just like, I mean, Leonard Nimoy wrote the book, I Am Not Spock.
I Am Not Spock,
and
yeah.
And then 20 years later wrote a book called I Am Spock, as he had kind of come to terms with it.
Well, and there's different things. I mean, again, once you understand what you mean to people, which at the time it was difficult to say, both in Star Trek and Superman. Like, I think that if George Reeves knew what he meant to people 20 years later, but again, we don't know if he died by suicide or if he was, you know, that's a whole other story.
We don't know the whole story with George Reeves.
But at the same time, we do know he was depressed about it. And I do think that, like, he might have had a different idea if he had known what this role meant. But I do love that, like, he does this great job in the same way that I feel like Christopher Reeve does in 78. He kind of sets the standard of, like, how you portray Clark Kent and how you portray Superman. Even though, like, it's not, from what we watched, there's not a lot asked of him between the two. There is a difference in how he acts in each particular
character.
He
carries himself slightly differently. I mean, it is, it is a little...
And that's all you need is a slight difference.
Which, speaking of that, there's one last thing I want to talk about the Crime Wave episode, because I thought this was going to be a much, much, much bigger deal. The bad guys actually have a lady bad guy this time. And she is
who finds out who he is.
Yeah, she's recording the entire thing, and she literally watches Clark Kent run into an alley and Superman run out of the alley, and they watch it twice, and they're like, yeah, I thought you'd like this one. And they don't talk about it at all. They don't bring it up again.
They just said, oh, Clark Kent knows Superman. And I was like,
come on.
First of all, I don't know enough about video camera technology in 1950s.
I don't. To I have say to think this it was not nearly that small.
Yeah, I was like, is this a thing? Like, do y'all basically have like regular cameras? I don't know. Like, I just don't know enough about it. But it was funny to see that footage and think, okay, either they're doing a thing where like, oh, bad guys have advanced footage because bad guys often do have advanced technology for some reason. Or yeah, they just like shrug their shoulders and be like, yeah, bad guys can do this. It's fine.
But we would be remiss to talk about this show without talking about what this show meant to the world at large or the country at large. So much so that, unlike Kellogg, the United States Treasury Department came in and contracted a short film to be produced to promote saving stamp plans. Yeah, because we all know what those are. I know you do, Miles.
Do you remember stamp day at your school?
Remember, this was the 50s. Were we in Korea at this point? I don't remember.
I thought that was the 60s.
No, Korea's the 50s.
Was it?
Yeah.
Hold on. Yeah, 1950. You're right.
Thank you.
I know very little about the Korean War, so I can't tell you about that.
You ever watch MASH?
I watched MASH, yes. But I haven't. I actually probably haven't watched MASH properly in like 15 years.
I only joke because MASH was clearly an indictment of the Vietnam War, and the show.
No, MASH, I know that aspect of
the
it.
The show MASH.
I loved MASH back in the day.
The show MASH lasted twice as long as the Korean War did.
And just as long as the Vietnam War did.
Anyway. So what saving stamps are is they are like a kid version of savings bonds that apparently Superman says that as your dad does at the whatever thing at his job too, when your dad gets off work at the factory, he goes down and buys a savings bond. And
yeah,
savings bonds still exist. I know that like, I mean, our grandparents were this age. My parents were born in 1950 and 1951. They were little kids in comparison to even the kids that were in the stamp day bit. I got some
bonds on my graduation day in high school.
Nice. I never got any, at least none that I was conscious of. So if I have them, I hope they've paid off. But basically in grade school, you would buy, instead of buying a $5 bond or a $10 bond, you would put like a nickel or a dime on a stamp, and you'd fill out a stamp book, and that would turn into a bond or something, I guess.
I think it was like you bought X amount of stamps, and if you had X amount of stamps, you got a single bond. That's how I'm doing it. I actually have a bunch of my dad's old stamps right behind me, and I was looking through them earlier to see if like I could like siphon anything from that. I couldn't, because it's all nonsense, and my dad's handwriting was the epitome of awfulness.
Yeah.
He's no longer with us, so I can't ask him about it.
Yeah.
So.
Apparently, when it comes to stamps, though, this was a common thing in public schools, yeah, to the point where
they had stamp days. Apparently,
once a week there would be stamp days during lunchtime
on Thursdays.
Do that. and this is actually, we talked about Phyllis Coates and her portrayal. Let's talk about Phyllis Coates, because Crime Wave was that was actually the final episode that she was in the show as Lois Lane.
Which I really liked her portrayal as Lois Lane. Like, she had that kind of intrepid reporter vibe to her.
I liked her. I will say, as Noelle Neal, who had been in Superman and the Mole Men, which is why.
Right.
So that's why she kind of takes over, because they turned Superman and the Mole Men into a two-part season finale for season one. She has more of that sort of, what's the... mister. Like that sort of like.
I know exactly what you're talking
about.
That, yeah.
His Girl Friday kind of snappiness that I feel like, yeah, Phyllis Coates didn't have. But she also kind of sometimes takes that a little too far in what we watched. And we've also got Jack Larson as Jimmy Olsen, intrepid reporter Jimmy Olsen.
Which, I mean, from what we watched, he's fine. He's there. I can't really gauge anything from him.
He's doing a good job. He seems to have the most fun.
He's a good, he's a golden retriever. Sure. He's a good boy.
And when Superman tells him to stay, he's like, "Oh man, golly." But yeah, the stamp day for Superman is so hilarious, because they are talking about
this. It's so funny, and it's so weirdly violent.
they're talking about this whole thing as if everybody knows who it is. And I guess back in the 50s you would, because, oh, Jimmy, don't you remember this stamp day back at your school? Well, sure I do, Superman. It was back during the war, not the other war, because it would have been World War II when Jimmy Olsen was in grade school.
Right.
But it then features Superman stopping a robbery to have the guy that's there is like, oh, my cohort, he ran off the second the alarm went off. But I'm not going to run, Superman, because I know you'd catch me. I just wish I'd learned how to save my money so I didn't have to turn to crime.
It is so after school special before after school specials. And
oh, it is.
It's so bad. But like at the same time, it's like it's endearingly bad. Like you're watching this and I'm like, oh, this is juicy.
And,
I love this.
And the mugging for the camera, like, that's right, kids. Crime doesn't pay, but stamp collecting does.
Right. Exactly. Which I think is my favorite part about it is like stamps, that's the way to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't rob your neighborhood bank. No.
Stamps.
Specifically on stamp day.
Well, and they and you learn through because Jimmy Olsen was he learned all about saving money through stamp day and bonds, that he got this cool portable typewriter that he could take with him so that he didn't have to go back to the office to type up his stories. He could type up the stories right there. That was so wild. He called it handheld, and it's like it was still huge.
Oh yeah, but at the same time, like it's the saving grace of the story. So you're like, was this an advertisement?
I mean, I was into it. Like it worked. It worked really well.
I mean, honestly, it looked like a laptop. So like, yeah, go for it.
Yeah. And Lois Lane with, going up against the other criminal Blinky, who, when we are introduced to Blinky, we didn't have stamp.
Yeah, so
we didn't have stamp day in reform school.
Although Blinky's supposed to look a lot older than the other criminal, like he looks like he's been on the block a while.
Sure, I just think it.
So Blinky's gray headed, and the other guy is like got a full head of black hair. So my viewing of that is like, okay, he's supposed to be the older criminal, and this is the new young buck, you know.
But yeah, Blinky doesn't.
But then he's like, oh, I'm gonna keep Lois Lane around because I want to write to my friends. Like that's the whole gimmick of that, which is like, what's happening right now?
Well, when he's first introduced, he says that he's gonna turn himself in too, and I'm like, wait, is the whole thing about this that all of the criminals are gonna turn themselves in, and Superman doesn't have to solve any crimes? But no, he does actually turn on Lois, and actually points a gun at her. Before Superman comes in and saves the day.
And threatens to actually murder her.
Yeah. But at the end of it.
Also, I love how Superman kind of comes in like a freight train in any given situation. Like, even when he comes in, he doesn't smoothly like land and like stop the bullet like you'd see in a comic book. No, he comes in like a runaway train.
One of my favorite things in this in the four episodes that we watched was back in Crime Wave. I know we keep going back to Crime Wave, but I really like that episode a lot.
It's a great episode.
When Superman is getting electrocuted, you hear the tap 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 of his like padded shoes on whatever stage floor they were filming on.
Yeah. I love the clear. When he in stamp day, when he pops through the apartment wall, and it is very clearly a curtain that has been reconvened as the wall. It's gorgeous. Awesome special effects for the time period. I'm not even being funny. Like it's very, very good.
We didn't talk about his flying effect, which I mean his flying in the show, I don't have
for the time with is, it. For the is time legitimately special. Very, very good.
Yeah.
But like it's very, very funny to watch now, but like when I think about like the actual like blocking and special effects of the time, this is incredible. But at the same time, like he barges through, they have some blockade for him to like parse through it as a person. And you can always see him kind of going through it after the like cut. And it's so funny because he's like kind of shaking his hand, like he's popped through whatever it was. And it's so funny because the idea is that he's like popped through the wall like it meant nothing. And it's like, yeah, I'm here, but like I'm here. And it's so funny. Especially when he's supposed to be like getting there in the nick of time to like get in front of the gun to stop Lois Lane from being murdered by a psychopath.
Oh, Adventures
I
of
love
Superman.
This
show is, it's silly, it's funny, it's goofy. Some of it, like this show, what we watched was in black and white, emphasis on the white. The show does end up in color, although I don't know if it's
stop
that over time. But it did, the entire show ran and had 100 and something episodes.
Yeah, I mean, it's very easy to make fun of this show for what it is. But at the same time, in terms of like the academic importance of the show as a comic book adaptation and it being a pre-crisis situation, I have to say this is a pretty great depiction of Superman for the time period.
Yeah.
Like it is very easy to like poke fun at certain things, and they should be, because I mean, some of them are legitimately silly and ridiculous.
And I'm sure that there is more problematic stuff that exists in.
Oh, outside the four episodes we watched.
Outside
absolutely.
The four episodes, we didn't.
Oh, wait. 1950s America had some problematic opinions.
One thing.
But
one,
from what we watched.
one thing I will say, though, if you go back to Stamp Day, when Lois Lane is teaching Blinky how to type, he says something to her and she says, oh, you'll make a fine secretary for a woman someday. And it's like, oh, that was kind of a, I didn't expect that in the 50s. Having a man be a secretary for a woman. What? Similarly, you don't, at least in the episodes we watched, you don't get a lot of, and I like this, and it probably comes from that His Girl Friday kind of style of things, where Lois Lane is just as much a part of everything as anybody else is. She goes out,
which I mean has always been her character,
sure,
it feels like,
sure, but this is at a time when you change the channel and you know women were doing
right
much different things,
right?
But yeah,
I think as a time capsule, this is very, very fascinating. What kind of sucks about watching this is like I don't know if anyone younger than us, and I don't mean this in any condescending way, but I don't know if anyone younger than us can watch this without like, oh, I have to do a little bit of research, you know,
or if they can just get over the initial cringe of watching anything in black and white.
Sure, but like I feel like there is something to gain from this academically. I think it's a very interesting time capsule. Is it the best Superman that I have ever seen? Of course not. Is it an interesting idea to see something done before? I mean, this is pre Adam West Batman. And this is not pre like live action superheroes, but it's one of the first big ones. And yeah. I think that's extremely important. And I think bears investigation into.
I just wish it was more readily available. Like, yes, you can buy it on all the major platforms, but in the year of Superman, why can we not just stream?
Yeah, and that is the big thing. In the year of Superman, why is, I mean, technically the company that owns DC Comics not streaming this on their primary service?
Well, it's not the only one that's not getting streamed on their primary
service. No, and also the rights are very weird in this one, in this particular case. But do you have any final thoughts on Adventures of Superman?
I wish we had more time with it. I would have liked to have watched a few more episodes, especially of the later seasons, just to see where the show went, or to remind myself where the show went. Because
they do introduce Kryptonite in this show.
Kryptonite is a thing, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if they introduce it as the radioactive shards of Superman's home planet. I don't know if they ever actually explain
right.
what Kryptonite is, other than that it exists. And also that lead blocks Kryptonite, because I remember that from watching the show, because Superman put Kryptonite in a lead pipe and then bent the ends of the pipe and then he was fine.
And then smoked it.
Well, yeah, but that's Kryptonite.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Kryptonite, baby. It's Kryptonite.
It's that green. You're stupid. No, I'm kind of with you. I love that we watched this, and I think this is a great representation of Superman from the time he came from. Like, if you think about Superman, truth, justice, and the all-American way, like, this is the version to check out. Like, it's that entire time period. And there is no better way to experience that era of Superman than this.
It's a time capsule for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's fantastic. George Reeves is good. I really love this Perry White. I really, really do.
He sets the stage for all Perry White.
Like,
after
this. He is basically, the way they write Perry White is J. Jonah Jameson.
Where he's got the different phones on his desk and the phone rings.
Waiting to fire somebody. Like, I love this guy so much.
When the phone rings and he picks up the wrong one because he's got too many phones going off at one time.
It's great. So I love funny. It. I love it.
Great Caesar's ghost.
Yeah, if you can find anything from this show, I highly recommend hunting it down. Certainly watch the episodes we watched and then kind of go wherever you want to go with this one. There's six seasons and there is a rabbit hole to go down in very many which ways involving the cast of this show.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love that we did this for Super Summer for sure.
Well, Super Summer doesn't stop here, Miles.
Oh, gosh. What do we got next?
And nor do the rights confusions. As we jump 30 years into the future, we have had Superman on the silver screen played by Christopher Reeve without the S. We've had Supergirl take to the screen and not do super great.
Love that movie so much. I don't care.
Helen Slater. That was her in there.
Right? Met her and told her that she made my childhood.
I was at that SC Comic Con. I was there. That's the one I came to.
Because I was very, very timid when I spoke to her.
Well, as it turns out, the guys who the father and son duo that had the rights for the first Superman movies ended up selling them to the Cannon Group. So that's where Superman 3 and 4 and 5 came from. But it was just 4. 3 and 4 came from. But turns out they still had the license to another iteration of the Big Blue Boy Scout as a smaller Blue Boy Scout in Superboy. The Superboy TV series airing in the late 1980s and early 1990s, starting in 1988. So we are picking up almost 30 years where after Adventures of Superman kicked off, and boy, have times changed. So
I am so excited to watch this. I have not watched this show since I was a kid because I actively did watch this show as a child.
I remember one specific episode. We'll talk about this next week, but this is one that I apologize in advance. It's not streaming anywhere. I couldn't find a copy of it anywhere, and I ended up buying the episodes that we're going to cover. And I know Miles is not super hot on this idea, but I think it gives us a great look across the entirety of
all right,
series.
You don't call me out on this one.
You call me out. I won't call you out.
All right, fine.
We are going to watch six episodes, and that is because two of these are two-part episodes. So we are going to start with the first episode of the series, Season 1, Episode 1, The Jewel of the Techical or Techical. I don't know which one yet because I haven't watched it. Then we're going to stay in Season 1, and we are going to watch Season 1, Episode 25, Succubus, which is, according to IMDb, the worst episode of the series. Then we're going to jump to season 3 and we're going to see a lot of new faces because after season 1, a lot of things changed for this show. And we're going to watch season 3, episode 5 and episode 6, Roads Not Taken, parts 1 and 2. It's an alternate universe Elseworlds version of the show. Cool. And then we're going to round it out with the last episodes is again a two-parter, season 4, episodes 21 and episodes 22, Rites of Passage, parts 1 and 2. Superboy. I can't wait. I looked at the cast of this, and I immediately was like, oh man, we have a recent connection to something else that we watched, so this is gonna be wild.
I'm very excited to watch this. I have not watched this since I was a kid, and I remember loving this show as a kid, so I am excited.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting, because late 80s to early 90s stuff was its own thing. And Miles, I don't know if you looked up where the show is produced and created. Orlando, Florida. Yeah, baby. It's great. Florida boy.
I'm excited to bring my fiance into this, because that's where she was born and raised. So yeah. I'm probably going to hear a lot about this. I'm super stoked about this, just because like I have not revisited this since I was a kid. And I mean, this is kind of like very close to the vibe that you and I were going for before we relaunched The More You Nerd.
Yeah.
So I am always excited to do like, oh, syndicated late 80s, early 90s stuff. Okay. Sounds great.
Yeah. And this show does feature a lot more Superman focused stuff, like Superman, like Lex Luthor appears in this show. Bizarro is a pretty big version of this show.
Yes. I specifically remember Bizarro and Metallo. Or a version of Metallo. I at least remember someone having like kryptonite in a box in their chest.
There is a Metallo in here. There's a Bizarro. Mr. Mitziopitlik is in here. Even Lena Luthor makes an appearance. Although I will say the episodes that we are focusing on are not going to focus on most of those. Although we might have an appearance by your boy Lex. So with that said, this is where we are going to call it for tonight. Thank you for tuning in. If you would like to reach out to us, you can find us at themoreyounerd.com, where you can find this and every other episode of our show that we have done almost as long as it was between Superman being founded and the Superman TV show that we just talked about. Please make a movie of the first TV show of the first episode of our show, or of a character from the first episode of our show. That'd be awesome. Anyway.
No, I'm not there.
Oh yeah, that's right. You weren't there.
That's you and Mike. Hey,
neither was Lex Luthor in Adventures of Superman. So are you the Lex Luthor in the show?
Fair enough.
Miles is the Lex Luthor of the show, apparently.
I'm the crime wave.
I messed up my own thing and now I don't remember what I've said or not.
Sorry.
Yes, you can find us at themoreyounerd.com. You can also find us, you can email us themoreyounerd@gmail.com. That's themoreyounerd@gmail.com. And you can also find Miles and I on our other show, Cosmic Crit, where we play the Starfinder RPG from Paizo. It's like D&D, but in space, and it's really cool. And you should go and check that out, cosmiccrit.com. But don't stop there. Go to cosmiccrit.com, go to the upper right-hand corner, and click on the link to join the Cosmic Crit Discord. This way, if you want to, you can play your own Starfinder or Pathfinder or other tabletop RPG with a whole bunch of cool people there. Or you can talk to me and Miles all day while we're bored at work. And in addition to that, you can come check me and Miles out when we watch anime together. We stream it live and we talk about it live using the Scener plugin. We are in the middle of Macross 7. We're not doing anything this week with Macross 7, but we will be back next week. When?
Yep.
Got to join the Discord to find out. So go join the Cosmic Crit Discord and you will see a link to where you can join us. You only have like 12 episodes to catch up on. If you're, and
you absolutely should, because they are freaking fantastic. Like, this is legitimately one of the best animes of the 1990s. And I hate that it's taking me so long to watch it.
Well, it's taking you so long to watch it because it just wasn't freaking available for that long.
I understand that, but like I also watched a lot of anime, like,
I know, not on the up and up.
So like,
I know. I'm picking. But with that said, gang, we are going to end the show as we always do with a rousing
nerd out. Two nerd for y'all.